The title of this session is Achievement, Grading, and Testing in the Personal Studies for New Christians. In this session, we're going to talk about that wonderful, exciting subject of grading tests and grading lessons. And I know teachers, that's one of their most favorite things to do, is come home at the end of the day after you've put in 12 hours of work or 16 hours of work and sit down and say, all right, it's time to grade these lessons. No, not really. There are some very significant details, and I want to emphasize that again, they are significant details about the grading that go with the personal studies that really have a major impact on how well the personal studies function in your center or in your place of ministry. One of the things that I want to point out is that in the personal studies curriculum, as we've already talked about before, a number of the questions in the different lessons are personal answer questions. And Christy mentioned this in the last session. We are not looking for right or wrong answers in those places. But those answers are very significant answers, and they do need to be graded, not in the traditional sense of do you have the right information here. They need to be graded in a sense that the student needs to hear feedback from you regarding the answers that they have included in that particular lesson or in that particular question. Now, when we talk about the different issues that are going to be dealt with in this workshop, achievement, grading, and testing, I'm not going to cover these in a tightly structured three-point session. We will go back and forth in dealing with the different issues, but I would like to, first of all, just talk generally about the issue of achievement. John mentioned earlier in one of the discussions of having a student read a book, and that was the first time this student had ever read a book all the way through. You think, wow, that's really unusual, but it's not really unusual. There's a lot of these new Christians that we work with who have a long history of failures. You know, they could give you a long list as you want of things that I have failed to do. But you ask them, give me a list of the things that you have successfully completed. And for a lot of them, that list would be very short. So one of the things that we want to do is provide these students with opportunities to achieve things where they can say at the end of the day or at the end of the week, look what I have completed. And not only did I complete something, but I was rewarded for what I achieved. And I believe that it is very biblical, it is very significant that we honor, that we recognize, that we praise them, that we reward them for their achievements. And there are a number of opportunities in the personal studies classes for you to recognize their achievements that they are making. One of the things that we will be talking more about in one of the later workshops is as the student sets daily goals. When you think for a moment about the classes that you've had that are lectures, I'm just laughing because I can't remember any class that I've had where the teacher said at the beginning of the lecture, okay, here are your goals, or I want you to set some goals for this lecture that I'm going to give. Basically, they just get up there and they start lecturing. What we do in the personal studies is every day, almost, we have the student setting goals, working at achieving goals, evaluating goals. Goals play a very major role in the personal studies curriculum. And the goals are a very practical way to see what I'm achieving. And really what we want to do with the personal studies is help the student achieve his best, to do his best, to reach his full potential. I visited one center where a student apparently was a very bright student. She had been in that program, I think, only about 2 months, and yet she was as far along in the curriculum as most students were in their fourth or fifth month. So she was really making progress. And I'm still amazed that she even told me this. She said, well, you know, I set my goals each day, and I set goals for work that I can get done within a half hour of class time. Now, in that center, they had 3 hours of personal studies class each day. And she had been doing this on a daily basis for quite a time. The tragedy was, in that particular center, the student-teacher ratio was so far out of proportion that the teachers apparently were totally oblivious to what she was doing. And she was actually conning the system because she was writing letters and doing other things that she wanted to do, but she was spacing out her times of bringing the teacher over to check on her work for her different classes so that no one was suspicious of what she was doing, and particularly because she was so far ahead of most other students who were in her own length of time in the program. The real problem there is that she was not reaching her full potential. She was not being challenged to reach her full potential. And if you're going to do that, you've got to get to know your students. You've got to listen to them. You've got to watch them, not like a sergeant going around watching to see any time you step out of line. No, you've got to be concerned enough to understand, oh, is this student really pushing himself? Is he really striving to do his best? Now, some students very obviously are not striving to do their best. They're stuck in a rut, and they're bored to death, and they're not really trying to achieve. They're just sort of doing time. And there are some things that you can try which may help to motivate them to begin achieving a little more. And I think one of those things that you should try is encouragement. It's very easy to talk about encouraging other people, but to actually do it, especially with a student like this, where you think the student doesn't really want to learn, they're just a problem student. If they really wanted to learn, I'd be glad to work with them, but they're a pain. Those kinds of students need to be motivated, they need to be challenged, they need to be encouraged, and though you may not want to do it, that may be the best thing that you can do for them. Another very important factor in getting students to getting them out of the rut is positive reward. And I would encourage you to look for ways to reward your students either through your comments or through other ways of physically recognizing, I see what you're doing in a positive way, and I want to say, well done. I want to say, you've done a fine job. Now, one of the things that you can do, or one of the things that we ask you to do, after they have completed every lesson, after they have completed every scripture verse, character quality, whatever that they are working on, we give them a congratulations slip. And what I would recommend that you do, we'll talk more about this later, but at the beginning of each class session, or some centers do it every other day, is you hand out to the students congratulations slips for work that was completed the previous day. Basically, it says, congratulations, you've made another achievement. We are very proud of you for finishing the following personal studies for new Christians lessons and achieving these scores. Be sure to share this with your family. Again, keep up the progress. And it's amazing how students respond, and we're not talking about little children here, we're talking about adults, how they respond to positive reward like this. And you say, come on, we're not, you know, if it was kids, that'd be fine, you know, but who needs a congratulation? You know, I mean, we're talking about adults here. You would be amazed at how, I shouldn't say you would be, maybe you wouldn't be. Many teachers have been amazed at the impact these congratulations slips have had on their students. And there are students who've framed these. There are students who have sent these home to their mom or to their wife or to their husband just to let their family know, I've achieved something, I'm proud of it, I'm excited about it, and these can really go a long way in encouraging your student. I know of one center where they said, well, we decided not to do that. I mean, after all, that's just for kids. And that was one center that was having a major problem with motivating their students. This was not the only problem, but I said, start giving these out. Make a big deal about it when you hand these to the students. Have everybody else clap. Make a big deal about it. And they really respond to that positive recognition of their achievements. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes about grading the lessons or the scripture verses or the character qualities. One of the things that was mentioned earlier was that when a student comes to a stop point, you don't want to just go over there and sign your name and leave. You want to take time and discuss with them the answers to the questions that they have put there. Now, let's just say that Greg over here, if I could have the camera move over here, let's say that Greg is our student, and he has just completed this part of the lesson, and he has called me over here to to check his work. Now, don't do this, teachers. Don't pick up this lesson here. Now, remember, Greg's sitting down here, so I'm up here and I'm saying, okay, sign my name and walk off. That is of no value to him. Number one, if I'm standing here and he's down here, if he wants to see what's happening from my side, he's got to strain his neck to look way up. That says, first of all, it's uncomfortable. Another thing, what it does, it says, I'm up here, you're down here. When you are going to grade these lessons, try using a little scope or Listerine or whatever you use, but when you come over to talk to a student, get down on their level so that you can see eye to eye, you can talk eye to eye. And what I have found to be the most fascinating way of doing this is, particularly with questions that have personal answers, to say, Greg, would you read your answer out loud to me and then just briefly explain it in a little more detail? And I have over and over seen students read their answer and then just take off and start talking. And what the comments that they have put down in writing were valid comments. I mean, you know, they put down something that was significant, but to give them center stage, let them do the talking. That way, I, the teacher, know what's going on in their mind because he's reading his own answer, and particularly the one I ask him to explain it in more detail. I won't do that with every single question, but I particularly, you know, you can glance at an answer and you can see whether or not you think it's superficial or whether it's real detailed. Or you could just say, do you have anything you'd like to add to that? But something to keep the student as the center of attention, keep the student talking, or just ask them a question after they've written their answer to get the student to be the center of attention. Now, I do not recommend you, the teacher, let me read your answer here to question number one there. Okay, what's this word here? I can't understand it. What I am saying is you're a dumb student. You can't even write straight, so I could read your answer. Boy, there you are. You're failing again. You know? And now, obviously, I'm not saying that with my words, but in reality, when I say I can't read your answer here, I'm basically saying you blew it. But if you stumble over your own answer when you're reading it, that's no big deal. I mean, I don't, you know. It's not like I'm the one who's the center of, or it's not like the teacher is the one who's got a problem here, you know, and the teacher can't read my answer. If you stumble, that's no big deal. You can figure it out. The student will figure it out, and they'll go right on. The point I want to make here is getting down on their level, keeping the student actively involved in the discussion, is a very, very critical point in this process that we call grading. It's really more of a discussion than it is checking to see if you have the right answer. And somebody mentioned earlier, affirm them. Even if you don't think the answer is detailed enough, make a positive comment about what they have already said, and then if you want to find out more about what that student feels about that particular issue, or if you don't feel that they have really gotten to the heart of the issue that you want to discuss, then just ask another question verbally and just get the discussion going. Don't worry about, man, that's not really what I wanted at all. You know, that you can make the point without being critical or without being derogatory. I have a very interesting example of this in the life of Jesus. Is when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, he asked the woman to go call her husband. And she says, well, I'm not married. And Jesus says, you know, that's right. You've been married 5 times, and the man you're living with is not your husband. You've told the truth. Now, if it had been me, I'd have probably said, come on, it's time to be honest, lady. You know, you're giving us a snow job here, and, you know, it's time to really, you know, let's be honest. But Jesus didn't. He affirmed her, whereas someone else would have said she's being dishonest. In reality, Jesus used it as an opportunity to build a positive rapport with her. And then he did, of course, in the process, he did not say, that's okay to lie. No, that wasn't his point. He affirmed her, and then he went on to deepen the truth. Now, as we mentioned, at these stop points, make them discussion points. Now, you may be very busy in the classroom, and what I would encourage you is, let's say that you're talking to a student who's been in the program for a month or two, and you get into an issue and you realize, boy, I'd really like to talk to the student a little bit more. And you look around the class and you see there's several other students that are needing your help. And let's say that these other students have only been in the program a couple of days. What I would do to this older student is say, look, Jim, I'd like to talk to you more about this. Let me get back to you, but I want to go over and talk to this other student who's new here, and he's just been here a couple of days. So just leave your flag up, and we'll talk more about flags in just a little bit in the next session. And I'll be back over here to talk to you a little bit more. One of the things that we've talked about briefly is that each of these lessons have a self-test and a final test. And it was mentioned earlier, and I want to repeat it again. Before you give the lesson to the student, remove those tests and put them back in your files. And when the student has completed the lesson, you give the student the self-test. But before they take the self-test, you want to have the student grade his lesson or her lesson. And we have answer keys for the student. In fact, what we should do, I don't have picture here to illustrate this, but if you will picture your classroom, in the middle of the classroom, it's ideal to have a table, a small table, or a desk, where you have the answer key notebook right there. Have the student just get up, leave their desk, come over to the grading table with their lesson and sit down and go through the answer key and grade the lesson. The first lesson or two, you may have to show them how to use the answer key. We'll talk more about that later. But have them grade their lesson. Once they have graded the lesson, then have them prepare for the self-test. They can take the self-test the same day if they want to. If they take the self-test, it's graded. Right as soon as they take it, have them go over and grade it right there at the grading table, and then come back and discuss with them how they did on their self-test. If they've done fine, then the next step is to take the final test. But the final test is not to be taken the same day they complete the lesson, the same day they complete the self-test. Let me repeat. You do not take the final test the same day. We do not want students to just zip right through this lesson, self-test, final test, and 30 minutes later be on to the next lesson. If you have them wait at least one day before they take the final test, and that's what we recommend, one day, you have to wait till the next day, that way at least you have a 24-hour time period for this to sink in, and hopefully they will remember some of this, especially reviewing it the next day as they prepare for the final test. And then you, the teacher, would grade the final test and give it back to the student. And, of course, after you grade the final test and give it back to them, you would also fill out a congratulations slip to give to them. Now, for the teacher, we have a record sheet. It's called the student record sheet, where you keep track of the student's progress as they complete each lesson. And there's a column here for lessons, a column for scripture verses, a column for character qualities, and for personal reading and Bible reading. So that when they complete a book, or a character quality, a scripture, or a lesson, you would write down that information here on your sheet. This way, by just looking at the sheet, you can see which student or which lessons and verses and so forth this student has completed. And this you would keep in your own file cabinet in your student file. Now, for the student, we have a similar sheet that the student can keep at his or her desk. It's called My Achievement Record, and it basically has the same categories. And when you give the student back his or her copy of the lesson that they've just completed, or the scripture verse or whatever, have them write that information on their achievement record. And what I would also highly recommend you do is give them a little sticker, like a star, or today they have all kinds of little stickers that you can get. And you say, come on, you know, these are adults we're working with. We're not working with third and fourth graders. You will have to try for yourself. I was going to say you'll have to see for yourself. Again, these little positive reward factors really make a difference. And if you're having a problem with students being motivated, and if you're having a problem with your whole personal studies program, that's the first question I'm going to ask you. Are you using the congratulations slips? Are you having students fill out their achievement records? Because these very basic positive reward factors have a tremendous impact on how the students respond in the classroom. Now, moving right along here, let's see what else we need to talk about. When a student completes a whole unit of study, and we'll talk more about this in later training sessions, but the personal studies curriculum is set up where a student in a 3 to 4 week period will cover a whole unit of study on a particular subject. When they come to the end of that unit, we have a nice large certificate of achievement that we give to them as a place for the director of the program to sign or the pastor. And with that, sometimes they will give them out in a major chapel service or something like that, and they'll make a big deal about it. And rightly so, because the student has completed a major achievement. And all of these factors are incorporated into the personal studies. They are little bits and pieces which help to put together a very powerful force to motivate your student. Positive reward, the way you grade, and incidentally, when you grade a lesson or a test paper or something that the student has handed in, I would encourage you to write a comment on there. Not a negative comment alone, but put down something positive, something encouraging. And I'd like for us at this time to bring our panel in on the discussion of this, and I'd like to have them share some of the different ways that they have used grading and testing and positive reward, these different factors in the personal studies, and how important they are in the total personal studies program into making this something where it really has a positive impact on the students. So I'm going to give our panel an opportunity to participate at this point.
I guess one of the things you just mentioned, Dave, is the use of using little stars or little stickers and things like that. And we've used them from time to time, and just recently we ran out, and we've had a number of students asking, you know, where's my star, where's my little sticker? And they'll put that on their personal achievement record there, and I have seen a number of students when they've had family come to visit them, take their family in and show them their desk, show them all their different congratulations slips and the stars on their achievement record, and they're really proud of that. And I've yet to see anybody snicker at receiving one of these things. They will take it gladly, and they're very proud of that. And I think even such little things like that, they don't cost much. It costs just a few cents, but they're really warmly received.
I'd like to say something about grading. new staff members have come in, and I've had them grade papers, and they said, "Well, how do you know what to, you know, put on here for a grade?" And what I found that works in our center is to keep most of the grades in the high 90s or hundreds. And if it's not really acceptable, to have them redo that part that's not acceptable. And that way they've got these stack of papers that they have all these high marks, and they just can't believe that they got all these high marks. And they say, oh, man, I never got these kind of grades in school. And they really feel good about themselves. So it's more of a pass-fail. Mm-hmm. And they like it, I think.
Yes, I would like to follow up on what Christy said there. And that is, please do not just put a check mark on the paper. I've resented that as I've looked at some of the papers that my children have brought home from school there in elementary school. And all there is at the top of the page is a check mark or a zero, meaning zero wrong is what it means. In other words, they got 100, they got it all right. But it, to me, it's just a very poor way of communicating to the student you've done an excellent job. Put a grade on it. Either put an A or a B or something like that, or put a high number grade. Don't just put a check mark on it to show that, this is okay, so I checked it to show that it's okay.
I know one thing we've done at our center is after the first month, we reward the student with a new life testament. And it's a way of congratulating them for having completed 1 month in the program. And as Greg was saying, I think the congratulations slips have been a big plus factor at the center. We give ours out every Friday. Friday's the day of recognition, and everybody claps, and the teacher makes a big deal out of it too. It's not a low-key thing, really. And sometimes our director says, "What's going on in the classroom?" And I said, "The students are getting rewarded today." So they really, you know, the other staff are aware of what's going on. I think that's good.
I think also with the grading, it's not only does it, you know, pick the students up and make them feel good, but I think for myself, I don't even like to have other people grade the papers because I learn so much about students, mm-hmm. especially if it's open-ended things that I've assigned them, projects I've assigned them. Even though I might feel like I'm overwhelmed with it, I want to do it because I want to find out what's going on in their lives. And it gives me a lot of input grading papers, where guys are coming from, and what's going on in their lives, and what's happening. I don't take it as a small thing to grade the papers or just something to get out of the way, even though sometimes I'm overwhelmed with things, but I really try to see what's going on in their lives, and that is a big supply of information to me. Mm-hmm.
You raised an issue there very briefly, which I agree with, and that is that grading needs to be a high priority in the way we invest our time. Most of us are really busy when it comes to our ministries. And it got to the point where I was sick and tired of having papers that were a week old or 2 weeks old or sometimes even 3 weeks old. And I finally vowed that as soon as class was done, the very first thing that I would do was grade papers. Even if it was only 5 minutes of grading, that way it was done, and I then could devote my time to these other important things. And that way, when class came the next day, the student would say, "Did you get my paper graded?" I could say, "Yes, here it is," and I could take a minute or two and talk with them. And it means a whole lot to the student if, when they have finished something, they get it back the next day. And while we're talking about grading, please do not grade papers in class. You think, well, nobody needs my help right now. I'll just go over here and I'll sit down and I'll grade a few of these papers. That way I won't have to do it after class because I got a million things that I need to do after class. One of the other centers established a policy for their teachers, which I thought was an excellent policy, and that was, as you look around the classroom, if there's any student who needs help, give first attention to new students. And then give attention to older students who've been there a little bit longer. If you've done that and nobody needs their immediate help, look around and see which students you've not talked to or none of the teachers have talked to, say, for 20 minutes to a half hour. And just go over and see how they're doing and ask them just very briefly how things are going and so forth. And if you've done that and there still is no one who needs help, then they said, don't go sit down. In fact, they don't even have a desk for the teacher in their classroom. They said, you walk around the classroom, and in your mind, you just silently pray for these students one by one. And they said that made such a difference in their attitudes towards the students and also in just the way classes seem to go. And I am a powerful advocate for prayer. I may not be the world's greatest prayer. I know I'm not the world's greatest prayer. But the point is that in those times when you think, oh, I could be doing something, take those moments and just begin to lift these students up in prayer, because really, it's not the teacher, it's not the lesson, it's really God that's really going to do the work in their lives. And I think that is something about, you know, when we talk about achievement, what really makes achievement, what really is a mark of achievement in their life, it's when God brings this truth to their heart. Anyone else like to make a comment regarding testing or grading?
Well, I'd just like to say that you mentioned about the comments that we make to the students when we're checking their papers, you know, during the class session, and the way that we say things, and, you know, even just getting down on my knees and going, you know, eye to eye instead of, you know, keep on standing, can make quite a bit of difference, especially to students who have low reading levels and they're already frustrated, or those that have experienced a lot of failure in their lives. They're sensitive to failure. And, you know, it's the way you say something in a tone of voice can really make a difference in being, you know, affirming or, you know, putting down.
This is good is a comment that I think should be almost coming out of our mouth very frequently. This is good. That's a good answer. You put some good thought into that. And surely any one of us could write that answer in a more profound way. But that's not the point. The point is to reaffirm what they've done. And I'm sure you've seen how many of them, their writing skills do improve after they've been in class for a few weeks. They're very rusty when they first come in there. You know, they have a hard time putting their thoughts on paper.
One of the things we've done at our center, because our classroom is kind of small, if a student doesn't want to discuss something in the classroom that he's working on in the lesson, we would take him out into the living room area and sit down and talk with him. He felt freer, not under pressure of other students possibly hearing things that he didn't want to share with them. And if the teacher saw that they needed more time to discuss a particular issue, we would say to him, this is a very important issue that you're talking about. We really don't have time, or I cannot do you justice to continue this discussion in class, but I would like to pick this up and discuss it with you after class or later on today. And so that the student, you know, because sometimes I think the temptation might be to sit down and talk with that student about an issue on his paper, and it could turn into a half-hour discussion when there's other students in there who may have flags up. And so we've said to that student, we would be glad to talk with you later about that. And then it's the teacher. To me, it's the teacher's responsibility to see that he follows up on that discussion, not the student's responsibility.
That underscores an issue that we've already raised, and that is it is very important to have a good student-teacher ratio, because if you have one teacher and 16 students, there is just no way in the world that you can give that kind of personal attention to a student. But if you have an adequate number of teachers in there, if one teacher gets involved in a more prolonged discussion, the other teacher or the other teachers that are in the classroom can cover and make sure that you don't end up with 10 students that are all needing to discuss issues with our teacher. Are there other comments that you'd like to make? Okay, that brings to a close this session on, let me see what the title is again, Achievement, Grading and Testing in the Personal Studies.